former evangelist. I still travel a little bit. The Lord allowed us to take a church in Lewiston, Michigan, and we've been up there since July, full-time as the pastor there now, and we've been excited about what the Lord's doing up there. And my wife, Crystal, is with me this morning. I believe she's been here once before with me. And Miss Crystal, if you'll just stand real quick. She hates when I do this to her. And this is my lovely wife, Crystal. We're sure glad to be here. Thank you so much for your hospitality and your kindness and just the warm welcome we received. I know that's hard to believe, but, you know, Brother Dale did give us a warm welcome, and he's been a blessing to us. And it's good to be here. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to open up to Psalm chapter number 1, a very familiar portion of Scripture. Psalm chapter number 1. I want to be a blessing to you today. My wife and I have been praying for you guys and praying for this day and the services we'll have this week. Just trying to be a blessing to you. And I want to speak on a topic this morning in Sunday school that I believe is something we all want. You know, but many times, just because we want something doesn't necessarily mean we're going to get what we want. In the book of Psalms, chapter number 1, verse number 1, it starts off, blessed. Now, who wants to be blessed this morning? Amen. Amen. If you didn't raise your hand, come talk to me after the services. We need to talk about a couple of things, but I want to be blessed. And by the way, it's not wrong to want to be blessed. It's not wrong to want to prosper and have prosperity. None of those things are wrong. You know, I think sometimes Independent Fundamental Baptists, as Independent Fundamental Baptists, we think it's wrong to have money, wrong to prosper in things and areas of life. That God has a lot to say about prospering. He has a lot to say about prosperity. He has a lot to say about being blessed. And by the way, He wants His people to prosper. If He didn't, He'd have to take out a bunch of verses in the Bible that talk about it. You know, I think of Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I think of James 1:25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful here, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. God, Bible has a lot to say about it. And I want to be blessed. But let's get back to the scripture. Verse number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he, that's that blessed man, that man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, that man that does not stand in the way of sinners, that man that doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, but that man that does delight in the law of the Lord, and in that law does he meditate, that man, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I don't know if you understand this, but the trees that are planted by the rivers of water are those trees that don't fall down in the storm. There are those trees that when the wind blows hard and the storms of life, if you will, or the storms of the earth blow up and batter it, they don't fall over very easily. Those are the ones that had their roots go down deep. The tree, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit. There's a promise here from the Lord that you'll be a fruitful tree. I want to be a fruitful tree. I want for the Lord. I want to be a fruitful Christian. I want to be a Christian that produces things in my life that the Lord wants to produce. And his leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth, I like it, shall prosper. That's an interesting and neat promise there from the Lord. But then God gives us a very stern warning here, though. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for the Sunday school hour. God, I pray, Lord, you would just bless, guide my lips, Lord, guide my thoughts. May I say everything that you want said. I say nothing you do not want said. Put a hedge, a holy hedge about the properties here, please, Lord, as little ones are ministered to, as the buses come in with bus kids. God, if there's somebody that needs you as their personal Lord and Savior today, God, I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. I pray that today would be the day they get their eternity nailed down, Lord. And a walk started with you. Watch over, protect us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Everyone wants to be blessed. I want to have the blessings of God upon my life and my loved ones. I want the blessings of God upon my family, upon my finances, as well as my future. I want God to bless my time, my talent, as well as my treasure. I want to be blessed. I hear most people say, I want to be blessed. Often I'll hear people say, I've never run into somebody that says, nope, I want to be miserable. Nope, I want the curse of God on my life. I've never run into anybody like that. And quite honestly, if you don't want the blessings of God upon your life, I'm a little concerned. I'm a little concerned. There's something bad wrong in your life. If you know, when we walk around and it looks like we've been sucking on lemons all morning, that's not a good thing. Of course we want the blessings of God in our life. Who wouldn't want those? We as leaders, as pastors, I promise you, Pastor Rogers wants your life and your family to be blessed. Your Sunday school teachers, the leaders of this church, the deacons in this church that pray for you on a consistent and continual basis want you to be blessed, want you to prosper. We want you to be blessed. Young people, we want you to be blessed in your education. We want you to glean and gain knowledge and wisdom, not just secularly, but spiritually. We want you to be blessed in your academics as you learn things and you grow and mature into young adults. Those of us who are older, who are parents, who are maybe college and career age, we want you to be blessed in your pursuit of your careers, your place of service for the Lord, your search for a spouse. No doubt we want you to be blessed in that. We want you to be blessed in your decisions and your daily life. But if you're going to be blessed, and I'm going to be blessed, we need to understand the scriptures this morning because God has given us, if you will, the rules in Psalm. And I don't think it's a mistake that the book of Psalms starts off with the recipe, if you will, brother, Brother Bell, or with the rules for a blessed life. He's given us the ingredients, if you will, the information needed that we may prosper and have that the blessings it speaks of. Let's look at our text, first of all. I want to define some words this morning. I want to help you this morning. I want to be a blessing to you this morning. Amen? Verse number one says, blessed is the man that walketh not. That word walketh in Scripture, it means the way we live, the way we act, or the way we behave. To pursue a particular course in life. The way we walk, it means our conduct, the way we carry ourselves. The very next word we come into is walketh not in the counsel. You know, one of the best ways you can read your Bible, I'm going to just take a rabbit trail here. Oftentimes I run into people, especially now as pastoring, the King James Bible is the precious, preserved, perfect, inspired, inerrant, infallible word of God. Amen. I'm glad you said amen. But there, you know, the best way, some people I run into, they say this. They say, you know, I can't understand it. The best way to get to understand the Bible, this is the Word of God, is to get yourself a dictionary, get yourself the Word of God, sit down with the Word of God, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of God. And when you come to a word you don't understand, look it up. It'll very much help you in your study of the Word of God. And that's what we're going to do right here. Walketh is the way I conduct and carry myself. Counsel. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel. Well, counsel means this, advice, instruction, intent. Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You know, now, This is going to hair-lip some people, and I'm not here to hair-lip you today. I'm here to help you. But when I say ungodly, the first thing that comes to our minds is, you know, the people out there. Oh, that's the murderers. That's those that do bad things, and they rob banks, and they cheat on their wives, and that's all the bad people out there. We're not ungodly. Well, let's look at the word. Let's define ungodly. Break it down. Simply means this. The prefix un means not. Not. Godly means godlike. You know, Brother Cook, I know a lot of Christians that don't act like God a lot of times. Ungodly means simply this. It means not like God. You know, if I was to say Brother Dale was unfriendly to me yesterday, unfriendly to me yesterday, you'd get the impression that he just was not friendly. By the way, he was awesome. He greeted me welcomed me. We were very much welcome when we got here. But if I said he was unfriendly to me last night, you'd get the impression that he just wasn't kind to us. Well, ungodly is the same thing. It just very simply means not like God. So blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth. The word standeth means this, to be fixed or steady, to occupy or hold a place, to have a situation or be situated or located in a position. Standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth. Sitteth means this, to remain or settle down in. And way means this, a course of life or mode of action. Now, I'm not correcting the Bible, but I want to rephrase this portion of Scripture with the definitions we just put to those words. I'm not correcting the Bible. The Bible says what it means. But listen now. Blessed is the man or woman that does not live, does not act, does not behave or pursue the advice or instruction of the ungodly, those that are not like God or acting like God. Nor are they fixed or do they occupy or hold a place in the course or action of sinners. Nor do they dwell, remain, or settle down in the seat of the scornful. That's God's recipe for blessings. You know, if I were to say we're going to serve everybody chocolate chip cookies this morning in the main service, and if I asked some of you ladies to bake some chocolate chip cookies, you probably would, first of all, because you want to be a blessing. But when you went to make your chocolate chip cookies, who likes chocolate chip cookies without flour? Who likes chocolate chip cookies without chocolate chips or sugar? You ever have just dry flour and baking soda? No, but if you were going to make chocolate chip cookies, you'd follow the recipe to a T. You'd add the flour, you add the brown sugar, you add the chocolate chips, you add the butter, amen? You stir it all together, you make sure you throw those eggs in there and your baking soda. Why? Because I want chocolate chip cookies that taste good. Well, I want a life that tastes good. I want the blessings of God that taste good. And here's the recipe. So many, Brother Cook, so many. I can't listen. If this is God's recipe, if you want to be blessed, if I want to be blessed according to the Bible here, I cannot walk in the counsel of the ungodly. I can't stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. And there are many here this morning, listen to me very carefully, and I know this to be true, that live by that. And they're here this morning, and they adhere to those instructions. You know, they're not being scornful, and they're not going out and participating in the things that sinners take and participate in. They're doing all of those things. They're not getting counsel from the ungodly. And you think God's broken because you don't necessarily have God's blessings on your life. You know, Brother Bell, one of the things I struggled with for a long time is how to counsel people that come to me and think that God's broken. Because as I traveled this land, I've preached in a lot of churches, Brother Cook, and the truth of the matter is people won't come out and say this, but they're struggling. oh, God, I believe God's real, but he only does those kinds of things for other people. You know, we get to praise and give God thanks, and most of what we give God praise and thanks is for what he's doing in other people's lives, not necessarily what he's doing in my life. And if you're going to be blessed, if I'm going to be blessed, my friend, that is the recipe for a blessed life, but there's more. See, sometimes we're excited about the facts. We get exuberant about the fact that I'm not out there doing what I used to do. That I'm not, what I used to be. But there's more. Most Christians in our churches today, they're half-baked Christians. And I don't mean that in a bad way. They got down verse 1. They got down verse 1. But there's more to the recipe. Verse 2 starts off, but in addition to verse 1, verse 2 must be real in our lives. So many want the blessings of God. So many want the bounties of God and bonuses of God. And by the way, there are bonuses for being with God. If you're here this morning and you're on the fence and you're not sure whether you want to get in or whether you want to get out, you need to just jump in. Amen. So many want to live their life their way, do things contrary to the recipe, but get what the recipe promises to produce in our lives. My friend, it doesn't work that way. You know Hophni and Phinehas were judged because of their sin, but not for the sins they committed out in the world with the world, but they were judged by God because of the sins they committed in the house of God with the people of God. Listen, for the most part, I'm talking to a bunch of God's kids this morning that and I'm not lumping everybody into one boat here, but they want the blessings of God, and they're kind of struggling. They're kind of, in our mind, we're wondering, what's going on? You know, I read about the blessings of God. I read about the things God's doing in the lives of his people in the Bible, but I'm not necessarily seeing that in my life. I'm not seeing that in my family's life. You know, we're living in a day and age and a culture where the world tells us it's okay to be critical of people and to do what you, if it feels good, do it, that kind of a mentality. You know, we're living in a fast food society. If I can't have it in 2 minutes, well, I don't want it, kind of a thing. And we kind of hold God to that standard almost, if you will. Where people think it's okay to just do what they want or however they feel in a moment or whatever they want to say, they go ahead and say it. Where people think it's okay to maybe talk about inappropriate things or use inappropriate language. I'm talking about God's kids sometimes, Brother Cook, and our youth group sometimes. You know, I'm surprised sometimes to hear what our young people say. And God's not okay with that. And that would fall under the category of the ungodly. Now, I'm not being critical this morning, but we cannot not act like God, in this case, blesses the man or young person or older person or woman or whoever. Blessed is the person of God that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But we've got to delight. We can't say what we want, express what we want, do what we want at the expense of other people or other things or what I want, and God's not okay with that. God's not okay with that. Listen, stride not, stand not, sit not, but his delight. Where's your delight this morning? I talk with a lot of people now that I'm pastoring. Their delight is in primetime television. And I'm not saying they're wicked. And they're not bad people. They're good people. But their delight, their comfort and their pleasure comes from being able to sit down and watch a television show. But they come and they ask me questions, Brother Cook, on why is this going on in my life? Why is this not true in my life? Why doesn't I read the Bible? Matter of fact, I was counseling one young lady in my office last Sunday or a week ago Sunday, and she said, "Why can't I experience this in my life?" God, read it in the Bible, and God says we could have it, but it's not happening in my life. And I'm glad she came. I said, first of all, let me commend you for coming and asking that question. And by the way, that, you know, if that's going on in your life, God's given you a pastor. God's given you assistant pastors. Young people, God's given you a youth pastor. Don't struggle with that thing and let the devil and yourself answer that question for you. Go to the man of God. Go to the man of God. Let him get the who's well-versed in scriptures and give you a scriptural answer and help you with that thing. But I said to her, I said, well, let me ask you a couple of questions. And I try to bring everybody through this recipe, if you will. And through a couple of questions, I found out that, you know, her delight was in something other than what God said it needed to be. What do you delight in this morning? God says, stand not, stride not, and sit not. Then he makes this statement, but in addition to, it'd be kind of like this when you're reading that Betty Crocker recipe for those chocolate chip cookies. Not just flour, not just butter, not just eggs. It could be kind of like reading, but add chips, sugar, and water. Look at verse number 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord. What are you delighting in this morning? Tell me what you're delighting in, or tell anybody what you're delighting in, and they could probably almost tell you where you're standing. We must marvel in his mandates, meditate on his mandates, and meander through. Look at verse number 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. What do you think about? What are you thinking upon? You know, I talked to a lot of people throughout the years in my services to the Lord as an evangelist, and now as a pastor. And you hear little catchphrases throughout the time you travel. You are what you eat. You ever hear that? You are what you eat. Well, I'm looking out. I don't see a bunch of chickens and a bunch of cattle. I don't see none of that. You're not what you eat. Can I tell you what you are? You are what you think. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know the battle in your life, sir, ma'am, young person, and the battle in my life? It happens right here. Right here. That's why it's so important what you let in here and what you let in here. You know, we'll sing it. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. We'll say, oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, that's good for the kids. It's good for us. You say, why? Because you are what you think. That's the battle. Why do you think Hollywood? Listen, Hollywood's not good for your home. I'll just throw that out there. Most of you know that. We know that in principle, but you know, when it comes to practical living, it's not. You know, I'm not sure we understand that real well. Hollywood wants to shape and mold the thinking of your family. By the way, that's why gay marriage is okay in the state of Michigan and state of New York and the state of anywhere now, it seems, in our country. You say, why? Because they have glorified it and glamorized it over the last 20 years, and it's become acceptable by mainstream media and television, and it's been pushed on us and propagated through our eye gates and through our ear gates. There's a lot of Christians that'll stand up and say, well, what's the big deal? If they want to live that way, let them live that way. You say, why is that? Because the battle is here. God knew that. He said, his delight. It's almost easier to not stand in the way of sinners, to not sit in the seat of the scornful, or get counsel from the ungodly. When we hear something wrong, it's like, oh, I know that's wrong. But what we think about, what we delight in, you say, well, what will it produce in our lives, preacher? Real quick, look at verse number 3. And he, who? The person that follows the recipe. What time are we done, Brother Cook? Okay. The person that follows the recipe will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. Listen, we need to stop being ungodly. Stop being not God-like in our lives, with our family, with our friends. There's coming a day, church, listen, when those who are ungodly, that aren't acting like God, maybe would reject God in areas of counsel, they'll regret it. Where those that maybe mocked the God's ways and his ways, that they'll mourn. There's those that were ungodly and lived maybe selfishly will sorrow, and who maybe boasted, they'll cry bitterly. But stride not, God said, stand not, sit not, but also meditate. Meander through his mandates. What it'll produce in your life and mine is strength. The number one problem I saw as I traveled our nation, and that I see as a pastor, is weak Christians. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean they don't have a lot of confidence. They don't stand for right and righteousness. They allow things to happen around them that they, I'm not talking about being a jerk about. But, God, all God commanded you and I to do is to stand. Battle's always been the Lord's. And if there was a day and age in our nation where people would just stand, they just said, no, that's not right. And that was the difference in our nation. But it'll produce strength, the power of God in an individual's life. Hey, if we fall in the day of adversity, what is small? Our strength, the Bible says, is small. Can I paraphrase that? If I fall in a day of adversity, I'm not blessed. It'll produce strength. It'll produce sustenance in your life. God's provision. There's so many things God wants to do for us. How many of you got kids or grandkids in here this morning? Let me help you understand something this morning. Amen. Put them up. Don't be ashamed of that. Put them up. Hold them up. Look around. Okay, can I help us with something this morning? Can I turn this one on?
Yeah, hold the button on the bottom.
The red one?
Yes, sir.
All right. There we go. Maybe not.
Or was it
already? I'm a loud mouth. That's right. Can I help you with something this morning? There's a lot of things we don't do for our kids. Not because we don't love them, because we know if we did it, it would ruin them. Right? Help me now. We're going somewhere. You know, God's the same way. There's a lot of things that, just because we don't get everything. Do your kids get everything they ask you for? Talk to me. No. Why? Because we know some of the things that we would actually just flat out ruin them. And plus, if we ever gave them everything they asked for, that alone would ruin them. Talk to me. God's the same way. God knows what will ruin you and I, and God knows what will help you and I. But when we go to God and we ask God for things, and he doesn't give them to us, we get mad at God. Somehow, some way, I don't know how that all works. But I guess it's just our heart. It's desperately wicked, deceitful of all things. Who can know it? But it, somehow, some way, we get this attitude towards God. I don't like that. God knows what'll help us, but it'll produce strength. It'll produce sustenance. God wants to provide for you and I, but God wants to provide the things in your life and my life that are going to help us not just serve him, but have a prosperous and successful life. And if we could just understand that one aspect of God's fatherhood towards us, because he's a great dad, by the way. Wow, what amen. He's the best dad in all the world.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
If we just trust him for his provision, and know that if what he is providing for us, if we didn't get something we asked for, to just trust that it's not going to be good for me, and he knows that. But it'll produce strength in your life, in my life, when we walk not in the counsel, stand not in the way of sinners, sit not in the seat of the scornful, but delight in his law and meditate in his law. It'll produce strength, the power of God. It'll produce sustenance, the provision of God, but it'll produce success, the prosperity of God. You want to know, real quick, before we get done here, you want to know why so many trees are falling over? Why it seems like so many are faltering in our day and age, Brother Cook, and falling off, just falling out. Just falling out. They're not blessed. They're not like that tree planted by the rivers of water. There's a reason. Many Christians are not fruit-bearing trees. They're not blessed. There's a reason many are like a dried-up lake bed where their leaf is withered. They're not blessed. I didn't say they're wicked. I didn't say they're bad Christians. You know, we're not wicked. For the most part, the people in our churches, Brother Cook, they're not wicked. But they are wanting. They're not indecent, but we've become indifferent. And we're drying up, withering up, faltering and failing and falling away from God and getting out of the work of God. Why so many seem to have no strength, no success, spiritually or secularly for that matter? Not because the world's wicked, not because Obama's in the White House, not because, well, I grew up in a poor environment. It's simple. We're just not blessed. When we're not blessed, listen real quick, we become calloused in our Christianity. When we're not blessed, we become bland. Our Bible reading becomes bland. When we're not blessed, we're sorry in our soul winning and we become weak in our witness. When we're not blessed, we become demanding in our desires and critical in our conversation. When we're not blessed, there's no passion in our prayers and there's a hardness that comes over our hearts. When we're not blessed, we become casual in our conduct and careless in our character. We become complacent in our Christianity. Sometimes we even rationalize rebellion when we're not blessed. When we're not blessed, our fire begins to fizzle. Listen now. When we're not blessed, sometimes we compromise in our convictions. Salvation no longer is sweet. The Spirit begins to be shunned. And our connection to heaven gets cut off. Let me ask you a question. I want to challenge you with this question. If everyone were like you in your church, your spiritual you, the you you know, not the us we want other people to think we are, the one that God knows, what kind of church would we have? And I'm not being mean when I ask that. I want to challenge you and your I want to challenge your thinking for a minute. Would our church be full of blessed individuals? Let me define blessed for you real quick and we'll be all done. Blessed. What does it mean? Webster's 1828 dictionary. This is what blessed means. Extolled, happy or prosperous, enjoying spiritual happiness and the favor of God. I like the etymology of words. The very origin of the word blessed means to be blood covered. So you can't be blessed unless you're saved, first and foremost. You got to have the blood covering you. If you're trying to be happy outside of being saved, it's never going to happen. Never going to happen. And by the way, you know, I hear a lot of people say, well, I have a right to be happy. No, you got a right to be holy. Be holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. By the way, though, if you will be holy, you will be happy. Funny how that works. Blessed. I started everything off with a question. I said, who wants to be blessed? Everybody raised their hand, and I'm glad you did. Walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way with sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And most of us have that down. I would dare say most of us have that down. I would think. Now, if you don't have that down, get it down. Figure it out. Ask God for help. Ask God to help you when you want to become critical or become scornful in an area, and God will help you. But most of us, I believe, we're here on Sunday morning, Sunday school. I think most of us got that down. But that's not the only part of the recipe. And there's a reason. If there's one thing you hear from me today, please hear this. God gave you a pastor and associate pastors and Sunday school teachers and men of God, deacons in your church, men of God, ladies of God, to go and ask your questions to. Go and ask them. But to be blessed this morning, we're doing well in the front half. How are you doing in the back half? I would dare say the average Christian reads less than one chapter, and that's I am conservatively speaking here, one chapter of their Bible every day. Every day. Y'all breathing this morning. Y'all breathing. What do we got, 5 minutes? We're all breathing this morning. God gave you 24 hours yesterday. If you're breathing this morning, and I'm breathing this morning, God gave us 24 hours yesterday. What'd you do with them? What'd you do with them? What you do with those minutes and hours that God gave you determines whether we're blessed or not. Go back to yesterday. Think about yesterday. In your mind's eye, think of everything you did. Now just make a mental inventory. Where'd God fit in there? Oh, but preacher, I was going to do my devotions. I was going to read. No. See, everything we did yesterday was a priority in our life. Everything we did yesterday, we wanted to do yesterday. And by the way, look back at everything we did yesterday, and everything we did do, we told God, that's important to me. And if God didn't fit into that, none of that, no meditation, no meandering through his precepts and his law, we just told God that wasn't important to us. Because everything that was a priority to us in our life yesterday got done. By the way, that's true for me too. It's true for every one of us. But if we want to be blessed, not only does verse 1 need to be true in our life, we have got to meditate on his word, delight in his law. Would to God this week, I challenge you to ask God to change your delights. Change your delights this week. Every day this week when you get up, before your feet hit the floor, just say, dear God, I want to delight in you. I want to be blessed this week. I want to be blessed this day. God, help me delight in your law this morning. Help me to meditate on it throughout the day. God, I'm working well on the first half of this. God, I want to get the right. I need to be blessed. I need to be blessed. If you're a husband in here, you need to be blessed in your marriage. If you're a dad in here, you need to be blessed as a dad this morning. You need to be blessed as a church member. We need to be blessed by God. And we got the recipe for it. Just like a chocolate chip cookie. If we'll follow the recipe. You know the Bible is just a bunch of recipes. Hey, any computer programmers in here? None. One? Me too. As a computer programmer, when we're designing a program, we use a flow chart. And a flow chart is just a bunch of if-then clauses. If this is true, then go here. If this is true, then go here. And you know that's what God does with his word. He's got a lot of if-then clauses. My son, if thou wilt hear my counsel. A lot of if-thens. And it's all about the blessings of God in our lives. So this week, I would challenge you. I would challenge you. Live the blessed life. By the way, it is up to you. It is up to you. Father God in heaven, thank you for the Sunday school hour. I pray that you're blessed, Lord. God, I want to be blessed. Lord, I don't know if I did a good job expressing what my thinking was this morning, what you kind of laid on my heart for your people this morning. But Lord, the more people I run into, the more they say they want to be blessed, but we live contrary to the recipe. Lord, if there's just one person in here this morning that will get a hold of that truth and allow you, Lord, to just foster those blessings in their lives and follow this recipe for that, then it would be worth everything we've done this morning. God, no doubt there may be somebody in here this morning that just doesn't know you as Savior. God, they can't be blessed. They can't be blessed. The very root of the word blessed means blood covered. Outside of salvation, we can never be blessed by you. So I trust that we're all saved. If not, we get that done. But Lord, I pray, God, I pray this week we just follow that recipe. Prove you in this area. It's not for others. It's for me. You are the God of the individual. That blessed life of Psalm chapter 1 is for me. It's for my family. It's for my wife. It's for my family. It's for kids. It's for grandparents. It's for Sunday school teachers. It's for us all, the child of God. Blessed is the man. Lord, help us to understand that this week. In Jesus' name.